Well, it's certainly a joy to be here tonight. I appreciate the meeting this week and how it's been a blessing to me. I hope it's been a blessing to you as well. I appreciate these young people tonight that are starting a new chapter in their lives, and what a world that they face as they head out. But I'm glad if we have the Lord Jesus in our life, He'll help us navigate no matter what the path may contain for us. And I'm thankful for that. Sometimes when you're young, you think you're going, you got your life ahead of you, and you think, man, it's going to be a long time, and you're going to look up one of these days and you'll say, where did it go? And that's exactly where you'll be. But I appreciate the school. I appreciate people allowing, trusting a school like this with their children. And in these days, it's needed more than ever. And I appreciate, I know many good teachers that teach in our public schools. I have several in my congregation. My daughter is a public school teacher. And teachers have a hard task in these days, no matter what school they're in. Because we're living in a culture today that the home life of many kids is not one of stability. And so we need to pray that God will help our families. We need to pray that God will help our homes, that Christ will be the focus in our homes. And I promise you this, if Christ is at the center of a home, there'll be stability in that home. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate you, Pastor. He's been so kind to us, and it's just been a blessing for me to be here these days, Preacher, and I. Praying for you, that you'll continue to get your strength back, and just praying that God will bless all of us tonight. If you have your Bible, turn with me tonight to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter number 2. And I'm going to give you a brief thought tonight, this being a graduation service. The Lord had laid this thought on my heart anyway to preach, but I believe it'll fit well tonight for this, and it won't be long before you. Habakkuk chapter number 2 for my text verse, and I'm going to read a verse in Habakkuk chapter 1 and also in Habakkuk chapter 3. There's only three chapters in this little book, and it begins in chapter number 1. I'll read that verse first. You're close enough you can see it. Verse number 1 says, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry unto thee out of violence, and thou wilt not save?" In the context of what we're reading here, Habakkuk is looking over Judah and the people of God, and he's seeing their transgressions. He's seeing their iniquities. He's seeing the wicked around them, and he's grieved by what he sees all around him. If you read the rest of this first chapter, God speaks to him and tells him, said that I'm going to bring judgment. I'm going to use the Chaldeans, a bitter and fierce people, to bring judgment upon my erring people. And he tells Habakkuk even then, he said, and I will judge the Chaldeans as well. But we come to chapter number 2, and you find Habakkuk saying this in verse number 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Chapter 3 and verse number 2 says this. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known. In wrath remember mercy. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight, and I pray that you'd enable us for just a few minutes, God, that we might bring these thoughts and that you might help them to lodge in our hearts tonight. Lord, for these young people that'll be going out in a new stage of life. And Father, maybe for some that's already here, Lord, they're navigating their way through this world. And Lord, I pray that you'd help these truths, Lord, in a world much like Habakkuk saw, Lord, a world that's sin-laden, a world that iniquity is abounding on every hand, and a world that seems like it simply grieves God's people. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to find these truths tonight from the Word of God, and may it help us as you navigate our lives. And Lord, help us most of all, as Habakkuk said, that we might wait to see what you have to say about every step of our life. And Father, I thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. I'm focused tonight on my text verse in chapter number 2. Habakkuk in chapter number 1, we've seen his burden. We've seen how he's cried out to God. And now God is starting to show him a little bit of what he's getting ready to do. And then in chapter 2, Habakkuk says, I'll stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. That language that he uses there is really draws a picture for us. He's evoking the word tower here. In the ancient days, in Bible days, the tower was a symbol of strength. The tower was a symbol of visibility. It was a place of protection. Many times the walled cities had a tower, that there would be a watchman in the tower. Basically, what Habakkuk is saying is that I'm going to be a watchman. I'm going to look out. He said, I'm going to stand upon my watch and I'm going to set me in the tower. And I thought about that. If you read this whole book, the 3 chapters of Habakkuk, the main theme of this book is the mysteries of providence, or the waiting for the purposes of God to be fulfilled. Every one of us in our lives, there's purposes that God has for our lives. Now, unfortunately, in this book here, God's purposes were going to be judgment, to try to correct people and bring them back to where they need to be. But every one of us, God has some purposes for our life, but many times it takes a while for God's purpose is to be recognized and revealed in all of our lives. You young people that are graduating tonight, right now, you may think you know how your life's going to go, but the fact of the matter is you really don't know. You're just starting on a journey now. But you see, God knows every step that you'll take, and God knows every path. And all he's wanting you to do tonight is to wait and listen to see what God has to say to you. You see, in the first chapter, Habakkuk is talking about the people around him. He's grieved by the sin and the wickedness and the evil. But in the second chapter, he said, I'm going to stand upon my watch. I'm going to set me in the tower to see what God will say to me. And when he speaks to me, what he said, not only is he going to speak to me, then what am I going to say to him when I am reproved? Amen. Oh, let me tell you something right now. I believe God is in the business of speaking to his people. I believe a lot of times we've crowded out his voice, that we don't hear him like we ought to. I preached a message here at the church a few weeks ago on a generation in need of spiritual hearing aids. Over in the book of the Revelation, it said, he that hath ears, let him hear. And I told him that Sunday at church, I said, as far as I can tell, everybody here's got 2 ears. But I said, I know this for a fact. Some of y'all don't hear half of what I say when I preach. And it may be that we've let other things crowd out the voice of God. Amen. I begin to think about this thought of waiting to hear what God has to say.
There's three things I want to give you tonight, and I'll quickly be done tonight. When you're thinking about your life and you're thinking about the purposes of God being fulfilled, here Habakkuk is, and he's looking around in chapter 1. Things are bad. He's grieved. He's burdened by what he sees. He's down in the lowland, if you will, and all around him is chaos. All around him is heartache. All around him, it's just grievous to his soul. We're living in a world right now. We're much like, I guess you could say, like Lot was when he vexed his righteous soul from day to day in seeing and in hearing. And we're living in a world today, it's easy to get overwhelmed and grieved by the things that we are confronted with on a daily basis, the things that assault our senses and the things that come against us, the trials that we have to face in this life. But here's the first key to what you need to do while you're waiting to see what God has to say. Number one, you need to remember this. You need to learn how to change your outlook. In chapter 1, Habakkuk is down among the fray. He's down among everything. He sees the evil. He sees the wicked. He sees God's people erring. He sees things that grieve his spirit. But in chapter number 2, he has a change of outlook. What do you mean? He said, I will stand upon my watch and I will set me in the tower. In chapter 2, he is elevating himself now. He said, I'm going to climb up in the tower. Things look different when you elevate yourself. Things, I mean, you say, preacher, right now, it seemed like on every hand, things are grieving me, and on every hand, there's trouble, and there's trials, and there's heartaches. Well, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to do like Habakkuk. You say, you know what, I believe I'm just going to climb up in the tower and see how everything looks from up there. Amen. I promise you this, if you will change your outlook, you'll have a long-range view. It won't be in the moment. It won't be what's going on right now, but you'll see what God has planned on down the road. Hallelujah to his name. Change your outlook. I mean, he said, I'm going to stand upon my watch. He said, I'm going to set me in the tower. Habakkuk is saying, you know what? I've seen all that down there. He said, I believe I'll just, you see, when you elevate yourself, you'll also separate yourself. Let me tell you something. If you want to keep your sanity, you better separate yourself from all the troubles of this world, ever chance you get. Hey, listen, it'll drive you crazy. It'll take your sleep. What you need to do is find a place you can get along with God. And you say, preacher, I can't elevate myself. Oh, you can go into the throne room of God. What higher place can a child of God go than in the throne room of God's grace? Amen. There's been a few times I've been overwhelmed with troubles. Didn't feel like everywhere I looked, things was bad. Things was bleak. And then I'd go to the place of prayer. Next thing you know, I'm sitting up in the tower and I'm looking farther down the road than my problems in the moment. Amen. Hallelujah to his name. Edwards family sang that song, Bring It All to Him, last night. I was like Habakkuk one day. I had troubles everywhere I looked, problems. And I finally went out to the place of prayer and climbed up in the tower. And I said, Lord, things is grieving me and things is bad and I can't change them. And all of a sudden, I got to looking on down the road. I remember when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I had an uncle married to my dad's sister. And a lot of times, he'd like to take a bunch of us kids on a little trip. He'd throw a watermelon in the back of the four-wheel drive. He'd take us up in the mountains, riding us around over there. In Johnson County, there was a place that's called Fire Tower Mountain. No matter what, it was the Forestry Service had a fire tower up on top of this mountain over there. And he would ride us up to that fire tower. And that, as a kid, man, that was the most fascinating thing to me. See, here in the middle of the woods, all of a sudden you look in this big tower, going up as far as you can see. Man, I never have been one that cared much for heights. And they'd say, let's walk up as far as we can. We couldn't get in the booth. They had it closed, but said, let's walk up. And I'd get about halfway up that thing, and I said, this is about as far as I want to go. But I'll tell you one thing right now, even halfway up in the tower, I could look and I could see for miles. I could see. Let me tell you something right now. When those people in the cities, in the walled cities, would be in the tower, they could see for miles. They could see an advancing enemy. They could see when trouble was brewing. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're going to survive in this life and you're going to wait to see what God has to say about it, you better learn how to change your outlook. You can stay down in the valley and you can stay down in your misery and you can make everybody else misery too, in their misery too. Or you can say, you know, I believe I'll just climb up in the tower today. And boy, it sure is a pretty view from the tower. Sure is a lot more pleasant than what I'm looking at right here. Amen. It's amazing. When you get into the place of prayer and you come out, things look better than when you went in. Amen. There's a change of outlook. You may have went in there and your faith was weak, but when you come out, praise God, you're ready to charge hell with a water pistol. Amen. I'm here to tell you, aren't you glad that we serve a God that if we'll wait to hear what he has to say, I'm glad we can change our outlook. If you're going to hear what he's got to say, you got to change your outlook. Number two, don't lose hope when the answer is not imminent. I want you to notice what he said in that verse, chapter 2. He said, I will stand upon my watch. And then he takes it another step. He says, I will set me in the tower. Habakkuk is saying this, I'm going to get up in the tower and I'm going to scan the horizon to see if help's coming from anywhere. And he said, I'm going to stand as long as I'm able to stand. But Habakkuk is showing us here that sometimes help don't come as quickly as we wish it would. If I told you tonight, I said, we're going to have a standing contest. Anybody want to join tonight? We're going to start right now from this time. And whoever wants to join in, there's going to be a cash prize of $100. Who can stand the longest? And we might be standing here all night, but I promise you this, I ain't going to make it all like standing up here, and some of you wouldn't make it either. I've seen them crazy contests where they'll hold on to a car. You know, whoever is the last one standing, I'm going to tell you something right now. But the fact of the matter is, there's limits to my ability to be able to stand. There's times that the battles are raging so hard that you weaken down till you can't stand. But here's what Habakkuk said, what I'm going to do when I can't stand, I'm just going to sit in the tire. I'm just going to sit down in the tire. I'm not changing my focus. I'm not changing what I'm looking for. I'm just adjusting my strategy, because it may not happen today, it may not happen tomorrow, but as long as I sit here, I know God at some point is going to answer and he's going to speak. Amen. Learn to change your outlook. Don't lose hope when the answer is not imminent. I can imagine Habakkuk looking out over the horizon, looking for an answer, waiting on God to speak, and day after day, ain't no movement on the horizon. He stands there till he gets tired, and then he says, you know what, I believe we'll just sit down a while now. And he sits there, and a lot would scoff and say, why in the world you keep doing that? Ain't nothing happening. God ain't going to do nothing. That's what the devil tells you when you're praying for a loved one. He said, you know what? You've prayed for that loved one so long now and ain't nothing happened, ain't nothing going to happen. Ain't no use for you to keep that up. Could you see there's nothing on the horizon? There's no sign of hope. There's no indication that anything's coming your way. Oh, but you can't see across the ridge. You see, I can see only as far as I can see. But you see, God sees beyond the ridge. God sees farther down the road than you and I do. And those prayers that you've prayed for a loved one that the devil says have fallen on deaf ears, and the devil says it'll never happen, just on the other side of the ridge, there's some stuff taking place over there where you can't see it. God's working on the other end. And hallelujah, aren't you glad we serve a God? Amen. Don't lose hope when the answer's not imminent. Man, I love for God to answer prayers immediately. Don't we all? But boy, there's a lot of them I prayed he ain't answered immediately. There's a lot of them I prayed I ain't seen it get better. I've watched it get worse. Oh, but I couldn't see across the ridge. All I could see was the horizon. It wasn't that I wasn't looking for him to do something. It wasn't that my faith wasn't in him. I was looking, Brother Darren, but I couldn't see everything that he was doing on the other end. Amen. That little old song I wrote was one of those that came out of an experience like that. I prayed for 2 years for something. I stood on my watch, and then I got so tired I couldn't stand no more. And I was weary and broken, and I looked on the horizon and nothing's happening. And I said, God, I don't understand. I've been watching for you to change some things. God, I've asked you for something good. And God, I don't understand why they ain't nothing, why you've not done anything. And he spoke to my heart and said, you're badly mistaken if you think I ain't done nothing. You see, I was looking as far as I could see. And then in my arrogance and my pride and my frustration and my anger, I said, oh yeah, what have you done, God? You've not fixed it. It's not got better, it's got worse. And all of a sudden, he brought me back to reality when he said, well, you're right in that I've not answered your prayer like you've prayed it, but you're badly mistaken if you think I ain't done nothing. I said, what have you done? He said, if you'll look back over your journey in your mind's eye the last 2 years, the hardest days of your life, when the devil would have killed you, it's been my grace that's carried you every step of the way. I said, God, I'm sorry, God. You're right. The devil would have killed me had it not been for your grace. I went in the house that day and wrote that little old song. When I can't thank him for the answer, I'll thank him for the grace. Praise God. Amen. You may not always get the answer that you want coming across the hill, but I'm here to tell you, you can always thank him for the grace that'll carry you through every trouble and trial of life. Amen. If you're going to wait to see what God has to say, learn to change your outlook. Climb up in the tire. So you know, it looks better from up here. Matter of fact, I don't see as much of the negativity up here as I do down there. And you got to understand, don't lose hope just because you don't see it on the horizon. Amen. Number three, and this is the final point. If you're going to wait to see what God has to say, you need to learn to leave an entrance to the purposes of God. You see, those people that would set up in the tower, the watchman, he would see people advancing toward the city. Sometimes it would be an enemy that was coming, and he could warn the people, and they could defend themselves. But many times he'd look on the horizon and be friendly forces. sometimes it'd be much needed supplies that were being brought. And when that would happen, he'd have to give the order, open the gate. And they'd open the gate, and it would come that thing that they needed more than anything. You know what we're guilty of? Sometimes the purposes of God are different than our idea of what God has intended for our life. Can I say that again? Sometimes the purposes of God are different than what we thought God had intended for our life. Sometimes when we see those things advancing, we don't want to open the gate. God, that ain't what I wanted to happen in my life. God, I didn't see this coming, God. And sometimes we keep the gate closed and try to remedy our situations on our own. But I'm going to tell you where the victory's going to come. When it don't look good, and when it wasn't what you desired, and what it wasn't what you wanted, and you said, but God sent it, so I'll just open the gate, because I know if he sent it, he sent it for his purpose, and he sent it to help me, and he sent it to help me be what I need to be for God. Amen. You do realize that God allows things to come into our life sometimes we think are so bad that it'll kill us. But God allowed it to come to make us more like him. Sometimes you'll have to open the gate to people that's really done you wrong so that God can teach you how to have a forgiving spirit. Ain't nobody wants to do that. We don't want to do that. They done me wrong. I'm going to get them. First chance I get. Eye for an eye. Tooth for a tooth. That's how we live our lives. They did me wrong. I'm going to tell you something right now. Sometimes, and we shut that gate. No, God, you don't understand what they did. You don't understand how they've done. And I found out if you'll just open the gate, God will take care of some of that stuff that you don't think you can take care of. Accepting stuff that God sends your way sometimes, the biggest part of the victory. I don't want that. I don't want that, God. No, not that. But then when you realize, wait a minute, if it's coming from God, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from heaven, from the Father of lights, is what the Bible says. And what might not look like a perfect gift to me, what might not look like something desirable to me, may be the very instrument that God uses to mold me for his glory and his honor. Hallelujah to him. I heard a preacher preach here a while back. The title of his message was, before God ever uses you, he may have to bruise you. Let me tell you something. And I've known some good men of God all the men of God I've ever had in my life have been men I've respected greatly. There's been a few choice servants down through the years that God just knit my heart to them in a way, because they had an anointing of God on them that you didn't see every day. And the closer I got to them, the more I found out was there'd been a lot of things that had come to their gate that nobody would have wanted to happen in their life. And yet they was willing to say, open the gate. Open the gate. It ain't what I wanted, but open the gate. If God's brought it, he'll take care of me in it. I was before at church, I was looking over social media, and they had shared a video of our governor from Tennessee, Bill Lee. And I didn't know this about our governor, but he had done a sit-down interview with CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network. I knew that he professed Christ as his Savior. And of course, he wasn't a politician. He was a farmer, and he was a businessman. He just decided to run for governor and just had a grassroots campaign and ended up winning. You know, I'm thinking we need to get more people that ain't politicians running for office. Because real people got common sense, and politicians, some of them, I wonder about them. Amen. But anyway, I did not know this about him. I knew that he had been awfully kind to churches, and I knew he professed Christ. I'd even seen where he'd take missions trips with his church. And he was telling his testimony. He sat down with him at CBN, and he began to talk. He said, well, he said, I early on in my life, I really didn't have no idea what I was going to do. He said, me and my wife, we had a good family. I had a farm, had a business. We were doing good. And he said, then one day, my wife had a tragic accident. She had a horseback riding accident that put her in the hospital, and she ended up dying from the injuries. And he said, that was a devastating day in my life when my wife died because of that accident. And he said, I was just scrambling, trying to find answers in my life. And he said, it wasn't too long after that, one day I was at work, and they called me, and they said, your daughter's been hurt. You need to come. And he said, I didn't know what they meant by hurt. But he said, when I got there, I realized my daughter had shot herself. And he said, here my wife had died, and now my daughter's going through this. And he said, I was so broken. But he said, I was just searching for answers. I was just trying to find. He's down like a backache. He's looking, and everything's bad everywhere he's looking. And he said, I was reading a quote. I believe he said it was C.S. Lewis. Was talking about how he said, I never knew that grief could feel so much like fear. And he said, this man knows how I feel. This man knows how I feel. And he said, it's then I began to search for God to give me an answer. And he said, God began to work in my life and began to do some things. And he said, 8 years later, he said that my wife now said, we were married 8 years later after my first wife passed. And said, we had no idea. I had no idea that I would end up being governor of Tennessee. And that wife, 8 years later, after my first wife, God took her, that she'd be the first lady of Tennessee. And I thought about, no, he didn't have no idea. But he sat up there in the tower when he began to search for God in the midst of his trouble. And now you can see, he said, He said, all of it still hurts. Some of those things hurt. But he said, I'm going to tell you something right now. He said, God's been good, and God has blessed and helped. Can I say to you, I don't know what you've had to go through in life. As pastors, we greet people who have been through such great tragedies that it just shakes me to the core sometimes when I hear what people have had to face in their life. But I know this. Just find you a place and climb up in the tower. Change your outlook from this realm to a realm farther beyond. And God will help you, and he'll speak to you, and he'll help you. Don't lose hope when it don't happen on your timetable, because God does all things well. God ain't never been a day late or a dollar short, and he ain't planning on starting now. Amen. And then when the purpose of God presents itself in your life, just open the gate. Give it entrance. Say, here it is. I've seen people, doctors that give them a diagnosis, they said, you got terminal cancer. And they lay there with a smile on their face and talk about how good God is. You know what they did? They opened the gate. And they said, I don't understand why this is coming, but if God sent it, he's meant it for my good and his glory. Can I say to you, I don't know what you may face in life. Young people, you're going to face some things. Just do like Habakkuk. Just find your place and wait to see what God is going to say. Father, thank you for what you've done for us tonight. I pray that you'd help us now. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that needs to listen to see what God is going to say. Lord, there may be somebody tonight, they've been so overwhelmed by the troubles of life that surround them on a daily basis, that tonight, Lord, they need to purpose in their heart. Lord, they're going to climb up in the tower. Lord, they may be so weary from the struggle and the battles that they face that they can't stand anymore. God, would you give them the determination to just sit in the tower? And Father, I pray that you'd help them to keep their eyes on the horizon, Lord, looking for your answer and looking for your blessing. And God, when that purpose comes, Lord, may we embrace it. God, may we open the gate. And Lord, may you help us in the struggles of our life. And Father, thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, let's stand with our heads bowed tonight as they get a song to sing. You may feel the need tonight to gather in this altar and pray. There's some burden that you have almost been overwhelmed by. You say, I'm wearied by it, preacher. I'm wore out. This problem's about to kill me. Well, I'm going to tell you what you do. Just come find your place, sit in the tire tonight. And say, God, by your grace, I'm going to keep my eyes on the horizon.